The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.
Hi there. Thank you for taking The Right Stand with me again. And I hope you enjoyed watching the broadcast on Thursday evening when we got the young rising voices of Kashmir. It was indeed a very, very engaging conversation. And I promise you, we'll try and get them back very, very soon. As soon as they have more plans in place. And of course, they firm up their blueprint a little more and they're able to increase their swell on ground. We're all building up to the Bloc Development Council elections. But even as India is talking about moving forward, looking at the route of development and as far as Jammu and Kashmir is concerned, and we are focusing on good governance, there is Imran Khan, who's flopped yet again. Ladies and gentlemen, the focus tonight on The Right Stand is going to be first up as to how, despite all measures that they have tried, they have flopped and how. When the External Affairs Minister today at the World Economic Forum, as Jaishankar said, that when you don't find support even within your immediate circle of neighbors, well, it has to begin from there. So for you to not find support across the world is not a big deal. And that is because he says that all the SAARC nations except Pakistan, all the BIMSTEC nations, all the nations which are with whom we share our borders and of course our cultural heritage, barring Pakistan, everybody else has stood rock solid with India. And this is where the narrative starts being countered. Tonight, we will recount and tell you how on day 61 of Article 370 being revoked, India has one hit after the other. And it's ticked all the boxes in terms of getting global support, in terms of being able to maintain peace and calm in the valley, in terms of being able to curb any acts of terrorism, to also negate any threats to our sovereignty. And of course, terror attacks across the length and breadth of the country. Plus having to build a strong, positive international narrative and more importantly, continue to focus on governance and continue to focus on delivering at the last mile, at the lowest, least common denominator, even in Jammu and Kashmir and in Ladakh. So we've ticked all the boxes and we're getting one hit after the other. And Imran Khan's been bowling no balls and wides. It's an over that he would like to forget. And never would he have performed as badly in his cricketing career as he is currently performing as Prime Minister of what he called Naya Park. And flop one began right from the time when you had Donald Trump sitting right next to him, looking at him and saying, listen, we paid you $33 billion and it was a big mistake. You're not going to get any more money because you guys are directly hinting at about terrorism and what's happening. So it started from there, the setbacks for... And then it came the big embarrassment where he claimed the support of 58 countries of the UNHRC. But UNHRC has only 47 countries and they could not even get 16 signatories to ensure even that a resolution or a paper was tabled. They needed only one-third support and they were not able to garner that. And there was embarrassment there. Then Imran Khan really was smited by his the entire officials and of course, even America when he landed up for the UNGA, where Prime Minister Modi had a red carpet welcome and a host of dignitaries to welcome him. And India was there at the world stage. Everybody was sitting up and taking notice of India. And Pakistan comes and there was a doormat kept for him. And there was hardly a secretary and an envoy official who was standing there to welcome Imran Khan. He even had to borrow the plane of Mohammed bin Sulaiman and Mohammed bin Zayed to even travel to the U.S., He loaned him the plane and he took his flight. That's what was the reality as far as Imran Khan is concerned. So flop number two, flop number three starts when he got no support at the UNGA. He got booed at the UNGA. Flop number four, you get into the fact that he never stuck to time. Prime Minister Narendra Modi finishing his speech inside of 17 minutes and Imran Khan going on for 49 minutes. And he was even criticized for the kind of language that he used on the floor of the UNGA. And he totally deviated from the entire system. Flop number five, his obsession with the RSS when the RSS has got nothing to do with the international narrative that's been stitched across the world and it is purely being done by the efforts of the Prime Minister and his government. So, and him talking brazen communal tones and pitting Hindus versus Muslims, etc., etc., and that entire barb and jibe going around. Flop number five or six, I've lost count of the flops, but I'm going to continue to list them. Where Shah Mahmood Qureshi, in an interview with a Pakistani journalist in Javed Chaudhary, says, I don't care about what the Prime Minister has written, you talk to me about my tweets. That's the equation the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister of a country share between each other. That is another flop. The next flop was when his own sporting fraternity came out and criticized him for the kind of speech that he delivered at the UNG and says, you should be struck off the sportsmanship list. And it was endorsed by not one, but many, many sporting greats. So, another list in the list of flops is that he is now tried on today, that is the 4th of October, to organize a massive rally which tried to say, Chalo Hindustan, Chalo Kashmir. And this was similar to trying to occupy, create something like an Occupy Kashmir, where he thought there would be a mass movement from Pakistan-occupied Kashmir side, from Muzaffarabad onwards, and they will march into the LOC, putting pressure on the Indian forces, Indian armed forces, and in the meanwhile, push about 3,000 to 4,000 infiltrators who are waiting to infiltrate. India turned around and said, you step one line, you try and cross the LOC, we'll shoot you down. That's what India has said. But the bigger aspect is that there are more terrorists waiting at the LOC than common people who would come forward to participate in this rally. Out of a population of about 30 to 40 lakh people in that area, not more than 4,000 people have come out. That's the reality. So that's another big flop and a big, big rejection. The other flop is that inside parliament, there are chants of Go Niyazi Go. Imran Khan has found rejection, mockery. He's been shunned. He's been criticized. He's been found wanting at all points in time. And on 27th of October, you're going to have religious heads, one of the biggest religious heads in Pakistan. He's now going to occupy Islamabad and the Prime Minister's office till the time Imran quits and he's thrown out. That's what's going to happen. So Imran is counting his days. Pakistan is counting its days. And Naya Pakistan has been bundled out for a duck. We're going to talk about that at length and we're going to show you the pictures, the representations, and you will see how, despite all the rabble-rousing that they did, despite putting all the jihadi tanzeem machinery into force, they have got no support. They are losing ground. So are the terror tanzeems. It's just a matter of time that we now get into effective pest control and wipe out these pests, ladies and gentlemen. And it's one false move from their end. One false move from their end and they're going to be put paid. More importantly, look at the level to which the Pakistanis and Imran Khan can stoop down to. They're going to push innocent people as human shields so that they can push in terrorists in their guise, in their wake. That's the level to which they can stoop down. Who are these people to talk about human rights and who are these people to talk about anything for that matter? But this is what it's been reduced to. Never did I think that someone who I idolized as a cricketer in Imran Khan, I would be sitting and looking at this guy and say, is this what this guy really is? Does this what he stand for? He stands for, and this is how he used to think even then? Oh, come on, let's just take away the cricket away from him. I endorse what sort of Ganguly feels. Debate number two, we look inward, closer home, and somewhere between Sonia Gandhi to Imran Khan, from Shah Mahmood Qureshi to Digvijay Singh, and to every opposing voice of the BJP and the current disposition, for every single problem in this country, there's only one entity that's blamed. RSS. कुछ भी गलत हो गया RSS की गलती है. कुछ भी हो रहा है अरे तुमको पता नहीं है ये संघी क्या क्या कर सकते हैं. अरे सब जगह RSS है. It started with Rahul Gandhi coming out and saying कि पता है सरकारी ऑफिस के अंदर भी RSS का आदमी बैठा. सब कुछ वहीं उनके पास ही होता है. सब कुछ उनके पास है. देश का रिमोट कंट्रोल RSS के हाथ में. Everything is in the control of RSS. While you have Mohan Bhagwat penning odes and poems on Mahatma Gandhi and idolizing Gandhi, you have the Congress party which claims his legacy and walking all the way to the other side. So my question tonight is blaming the RSS to become the favorite political tool? Is that the greatest excuse? So you have Gaurakshak, who the Prime Minister calls nothing but a bunch of goons and smugglers who are misusing and who are abusing this entire thought of Gaurakshak. And you have Mohan Bhagwat coming out and criticizing, saying, we do not endorse these kind of people and they are not our people. And on the other hand, the narrative says, ye dekho RSS ke terrorists hain, Gaurakshak ki terrorists hain, RSS has unleashed these terrorists on the floor to try and suffocate Muslims and other people in society, and to try and take rule. RSS has its own interpretation of the Hindu Rashtra, and look how Imran Khan, Rahul Gandhi and the rest of the people, rest of the world, interprets their interpretation of Hindu Rashtra. Whether you agree with that interpretation or not is okay, but how do you paint it? To blame it on RSS, is this right? Or can, or perhaps is there merit? Is there merit in what many people believe that the RSS has been able to do? Has it permeated into every particular social system and the social fabric of our country that they have become so powerful, a non-political social organization is now calling the shots everywhere? Is that really true? Or has their sphere of influence only grown because they are doing some genuinely good work. Because if somebody was as demonic as they are being portrayed as an organization, why will they be growing year on year? Why will they be stronger than the BJP as a Sangathan? If they were doing so well, they should have crumbled, the infrastructure should have crumbled, and nobody should have even cared. As I sign off on this podcast, let me tell you, the RSS and their shakhas have a prayer or a pledge called the Ekatmata Stotra. It's there on Google. Just look it up and read. There are about 35 verses that they have to read and memorize. And look at who are the leaders, the founding fathers, great visionaries, poets, writers of our country, who they idolize. Especially concentrate on verses 28, 29 and 30. I sign off with the hope that you will join me live tonight on The Right Stand, 7:57 p.m. onwards. Bye for now.
The Right Stand with Anand Narasimhan.